The following message by Apostle Dr. Dana Carson is made possible by DCKM Partners, assisting people to know God, making Him known to others, and spreading the kingdom message around the world. Check out our website, drdanacarson.org, where you can hear much more from the Kingdom Voice.
In this gospel of the kingdom shall be spread across the world.
Coming up today, Dr. Dana Carson will teach how important just-in-time faith plays in our lives.
This is what God said to Abram. Is there anything for the fourth point? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Look to your neighbor and say, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, come on, touch and talk to somebody that look like they want to talk. Ask them, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You know you going through. You know you got all kind of problems. You know you depressed. You know you're ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to move out of town and start all over again because you can't handle where you are. I said, ask somebody, is there anything too hard for God?
Learning to live a life of faith is extremely important if you're going to maximize your relationship with God. And one great way to learn how to live by faith is by looking at the life of the father of faith, Abraham. In today's message, Dr. Carson teaches just-in-time faith, coming from Genesis 18, 9 through 15.
DCKM, Dana Carson, Kingdom Ministries.
Abraham is content and waiting for the manifestation of the promise that is not coming through what he believed was the vehicle of the promise, Ishmael. So what do you do when your hope is in the wrong thing? Okay, so he has Ishmael. So he thinks Ishmael is the promise. So he thinks all of the descendants of the sand and the sky of the stars are coming through Ishmael. And God said, ain't none of that coming through that boy. So what do you do when you put your hope in the wrong thing? Complication number three. Abraham is old and impotent. What do you do when God has called you now to believe in the impossible? At 75, I thought I could work a little bit. But at 100, ain't nothing working up in this bad boy. Not even ball and socket hinge and nothing. Now, Ishmael's not the promise. I produced him at an old age. Now you're telling me at 100. Okay, God, what are you telling me? I'm telling you I'm just in time faith. That's what I'm telling you. I'm just in time. Complication number four. Sarah is barren, old, and maybe bitter due to Hagar. So what do you do when God says you're going to have a child and you're old and barren and a little bit bitter? Which means, what do you do when God tells you, I'm going to gonna bring the dream to pass. I'm gonna bring the promise to pass, and now you don't want it. What I look like, almost 100 myself, trying to raise and breastfeed a baby. What you trying to do? Kill me? I'm already dried up. So, first time you made this promise, I was barren. Then I became bitter because of Hagar. But now I'm past childbearing age. What kind of God are you? I got all hype and I was ready. Abraham and I was, we had booted up and we ramped up our sexual activity, and I stood on my head. I did every technique we knew. And yet and still, I didn't have a child. Do you know how many times we hoped to have this baby and then finally we came to the conclusion that it ain't gonna happen? And then Abram said, but God promised. And then I had to live with Abram's conclusion and my joint agreement that it's not going to happen to me, so God must want you to have this promised child to another. Do you know all of the emotions I've gone through giving this servant woman your promised seed while I sit back and watch you enjoy your dream and your promise? And now here I am on the other side of time, and God's gonna come and say to me, is baby having time? What is this? What does this require? Look to your neighbor and say, just in time faith. Oh yeah. You're going to get this in a minute. What do you do when God uses the just-in-time faith system? What do you do when you realize just-in-time faith is a faith that kicks in when you're out of time? What do you do when you understand that what God wants to do in your life is predicated upon sovereignty and submission, not upon plans and actions? What do you do when God says just in time faith is standing still and seeing the salvation of the Lord? What do you do when your dreams of a business have passed? What do you do when your dreams of your dreams have passed? What do you do when you did not receive what you thought God had for you, and you've now finally have learned to love God even if he doesn't do it, but then he steps in and says, I'm going to do it, and this is the time I was going to always do it? One of the greatest challenges for people is when God steps in and says, I'm going to do it. People are too tied into their Ishmaels. You went and got what you wanted, the way you wanted to do it, and then called it God. Thus, the text is real quiet. I didn't know I was going to be that relevant. I didn't know I was going to hit that many targets, bullseye. So this is a bullseye silence. This is, what am I going to do with Israel? Silence. Is it safe for me to reawaken the promise? This is, how do I get over what I've already been over and set myself up to go through it again? This text is hedged upon the promise of God. It's hinged upon the promise of God, which is the foundation of faith. Now, in this text, I find six just-in-time principles. Can I just work here just a little bit this morning? Here is the first just-in-time faith principle. I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. Thus, this just-in-time principle is promised. Now, when he says, I will return to you according to the time of life, literally in Hebrew, that means in the spring. So now God is giving some specifics. So he's saying, next year this time, you're going to have a baby. So next year this time, you're going to have Sarah, you're going to have a child, and Abram, you're going to be the daddy of two. Problem is, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, that's what the text says, and Sarah had passed childbearing age. Thus, just-in-time faith is faith that can raise the dead. Okay. So, God wants you to have a faith that raises the dead. Oh, God, I wish I could. Oh, man, I know where I want to go. Some of it I can't go into next week. But listen, God wants you to have a faith that is able to raise the dead. So he sets up this context for Abraham and Sarah that the kind of faith you're going to have to model as the father of faith is a faith that believes in resurrection of the dead. So that means God says, I want you to trust me when all indicators have flatlined. Nothing suggests that it's possible. The Bible says both of their bodies were past the time or season of natural childbearing, dead. How do you believe God for babies out of a dead body? As good as a corpse. Look to your neighbor and say, through just-in-time faith. It's lean faith. Second principle here is just-in-time faith. It says, I will give you, is the second principle. I will give you something to laugh about. Just-in-time faith is ridiculous faith. The stuff that God says he's getting ready to do make you laugh. God, you don't know where I come from. You don't know my people. You don't know me. God, listen. So, that's like saying to Sekou, you're going to be the 49th or 50th, 51st president of the United States of America. Sekou say, you got to be crazy. Sekou laughs. He says to John Valier, You're going to be the next Bill Gates. He tells the young lady who can't even get along with her immediate family, you're going to get married and have a model marriage. He tells someone that doesn't even know how to pay their bills on time, you're going to be a millionaire. See, just-in-time faith makes you laugh because it's so opposite of your ability. Thus, they're like, why did you not do this already? Sarah says, shall I bear a child when I've grown old? This is ridiculous. See, I don't believe you understand how much God wants to manifest himself in and through your life and how powerful he really is. So let me finish with this text. Here is the third principle, just-in-time faith principle. Just-in-time faith is apostolic faith. What do you mean, apostolic faith? Sarah laughed. She laughed. And God was appalled at her laughter. But it was funny to her. And what does God do? He says, Abraham, why did she laugh? It's apostolic. You're holding me responsible for Sarah? You're dang right. Because I put the promise in you, and everybody in your atmosphere, everybody in your world should have realized that what I said to you is going to come to pass. Why is it that your family doesn't trust me? So she laughed as a result of your communicating the promise to her. Sarah, looking at Abram taking her whooping. This is what God said to Abram. Is there anything for the fourth point? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Look to your neighbor, say, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, come on, touch and talk to somebody that look like they want to talk. Ask them, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You know you going through. You know you got all kind of problems. You know you depressed. You know you're ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to move out of town and start all over again because you can't handle where you are. I said, ask somebody, is there anything too hard for God? Look to your neighbor, say anything, anything, anything. Now tell them anything excludes nothing. Now tell them that means whatever you're going through, it ain't too hard for God. Oh yes, it's too hard for you. It was meant to be too hard for you. God knew it would be too hard for you, but it's not too hard for God. Can't handle it, but he can. Come on, tell somebody, don't laugh at God, laugh at yourself. Yeah, it's too hard if I gotta do it, but it's not too hard if he's got to do it. See, so it's apostolic. Sarah, why did Sarah laugh And he says, and God repeats saying, shall I bear child since I'm old? He said, why should he say that? Just imagine people took responsibility for their households and their families to communicate the promise and the message of God. And that when your house acts crazy, God don't go to the crazy people, he goes to the crazy head. Four. That was four. Five. Is it four or five? That's four. That was four. Okay, thank you all. That was four. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. He said, that's the end of that. Now he's saying, no matter how impossible you think it is, it's going to happen. Not because you necessarily believe it. It's going to happen because I'm a promise keeper. Aren't you glad that God's a promise keeper? Aren't you glad that when we are faithless, he's faithful? So now, here is the fifth principle here. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. The fifth principle is stop lying. Now, I want you to understand, Sarah is going to try to lie to omniscience. Now, how you gonna lie to all knowing? Now, God gets upset with her, one, for doubting him, and then two, for lying to him. And see, and the Bible says she lied because she was afraid. See, many folk find themselves in positions denying what they said, and they don't call it a lie. They're just afraid, so they're afraid to tell the truth. And so Sarah wasn't trying to be a liar. She was just afraid to tell the truth. And then God said, no, yes, you did laugh. Listen, man, can you imagine God saying that? You said, no, Lord. Yeah, I didn't laugh. No. Yes, you did laugh. Exclamation point. Which meant he hollered. He raised his voice. I didn't know God dealt with people like that. Thus, just-in-time faith can raise the dead. It's resurrection faith. Now, here is the conclusion of the matter. And how did Abram and Sarah deal with just-in-time faith, which means a faith that got to come up right now, because the one you've had for 20-some years, you thought you fulfilled that, and you didn't. So now you got to have some just-in-time faith. You didn't even know you needed this faith anymore, because you thought you had already received the promise. So now you got to have just-in-time faith. Because you went out there and made something happen and called it God, and it wasn't God. And now God says in the day of visitation, this is the time I need you to believe me. Lord, you need me to believe you when? I need you to believe me when you can do nothing about it. God says just in time faith is a faith that requires nothing from you but trust. See, God is going to put you in a position where the only way you succeed is by Him. The longer you try to use your temperament, your personality, your money, your fame, your influence, you got to go through these cycles over and over again until you finally get to the place of depletion where you realize that you cannot go any further without the power of God. Is there anybody in here that's almost there? Is there anybody in here that have tried a lot of stuff in there? Is there anybody here that have used their networking? They've used their resources. They've used their ingenuity. They've used their brand. They've used everything they had, but you're still not at the place where you are seeing your descendants as numerous as the particles of sand and the stars in the sky. Now God says to Abram, you're on, man. Your faith is going to bring this to pass. The responses or the responses to the just-in-time faith request of God, we find it in Romans chapter 4. And the Bible says the first thing Abram had to do in order to walk in just-in-time faith was that he had to hope against hope. Look to your neighbor and say, hope against hope. The Greek term LP speaks of futuristic things. That meant that Abram's hope had come and gone with Ishmael, and now he has to resurrect a hope. And so now he has to hope against a hope that was dead, and now he's got to hope all over again while he is dead. Now, he has the hope in He who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Oh, God in heaven. He has the hope in Him that gives life to the dead. Some of you got some dead dreams. Some of you got some dead promises. But the God that we serve, He's able to give life to dead things. And He's able to call things that are not as though they were. He's able to bring things in existence. Which means God doesn't need your contacts. God don't need you to make contacts. God doesn't need your networking. The more you trust in what you can do, the less you trust in what God can do. Thus, the first step is hope against hope. Don't sustain me like that. Come on, say hope against hope. Now, the second thing that the text, that's 4:17 and 18. Then the next thing it says, Abraham was not weak in faith. Thus, he was not without strength in faith. He was not powerless in faith. He was not sick in faith. Which meant his faith did not lack strength. It wasn't infirm. It wasn't feeble. So, not weak in faith meant that his faith was ready to act. Because he had messed up and made a mistake, he wasn't impotent in faith. He was not weak in faith. And the Bible said, then he did not, this is what it looks like not to be weak in faith. He did not consider, observe, notice, contemplate his own body. Oh God. Listen, he didn't even pay attention to it. Listen, he didn't pay attention to erectile dysfunction. He didn't pay attention. attention to his body. He didn't care whether or not his equipment worked or didn't work. He didn't even consider it. He said, because God said Sarah gonna have a son, listen, there may be snow on the rooftop, but God's about to put fire in the furnace. Y'all, listen. He said things are about to change. He considers not the deadness of his body, nor the deadness of her womb, which meant they ain't had sex in years. So the Bible says this. So he did. So that was the first thing. You can't consider your circumstance. I said you can't consider your situation. You can't consider what you can and cannot do. See, when God is trying to bring something to pass in your life, it ain't about your ability. It's about your faith. Can you trust me with a limp, dry stuff? Can you trust me with that? They could have got up in there, Rachel, I know I can talk to you. They could have got up in there and hurt themselves. But the Bible says this is the next thing he did. He did not waver. He did not waver at the promise of God. The Greek term means he didn't separate from it. He didn't separate himself from the promise, which meant since the promise was that you're going to have a descendant, Sarah's going to have a child, he didn't separate himself from the promise, because that means that if Sarah's going to have the child, something up in here about to start working that ain't been working. Y'all not hearing me? God says what ain't been working is about to start working. Y'all not hearing me? You got to understand, when God gives you that visitation, what ain't been working, things you tried in the past ain't been working. When it is your time, when it is your season, stuff that ain't been working starts working.
To hear this message in its entirety, visit drdanacarson.org and search for Just In Time Faith. If you would like to go even further in your understanding of the kingdom of God, we invite you to enroll in the online Kingdom Bible University. Check this out.
Are you ready to experience a greater dimension to God? The Kingdom Bible University was birthed to meet the needs of today's kingdom believers that have busy lives with family, career, and ministry. At KBU, we desire to see you fulfill your kingdom mandate and live to your Christ-centered full potential. Through KBU, you can achieve the kingdom knowledge and empowerment of the Bible that will enhance your spiritual life. KBU is your right choice for a kingdom education that is affordable, reliable, and accessible just for you. Find more information about KBU at KingdomBibleUniversity.com. And watch God transform your life, one kingdom learning opportunity at a time.
Before we end this broadcast, we would like to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ. Please repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now, acknowledging that I am a sinner and in need of your grace. Save me, Lord. Make me clean. All that I am, all that I have, I give to you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now, if you said this prayer, we celebrate with you. We invite you to join online to further your kingdom journey at www.therockwoi.com and click on Join Online. We would love to assist you through your new kingdom life.
The preceding message by Dr. Dana Carson is made possible by DCKM Partners, assisting people to know God, make Him known to others, and spread the kingdom message around the world. Check out his website, drdanacarson.org, where you can hear much more from the Kingdom Voice. Become a DCKM partner today and make a difference in the world around you at www.drdanacarson.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dana Carson, senior leader at The Rock, WOI, 9321 Edgebrook, Houston, Texas. I want to take this time to invite you to come worship with us every Sunday at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. Man, our services are off the chain. I want you to come and experience my powerful teaching on the kingdom of God and enjoy the wonderful community of the saints. You and your family will be tremendously blessed. Join me here at The Rock, 9321 Edgebrook, where we're keeping it on the edge.
The preceding broadcast has been brought to you by DCKM Partners, helping people to know God, make Him known to others, and spread the kingdom message around the world. Find out more at drdanacarson.org.